From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. On this edition of the Coastline Candidate Interviews, we'll spend the first segment with one candidate for the Wrightsville Beach Board of Aldermen. The remaining two segments will feature candidates running for Brunswick Regional Water and Sewer H2GO, popularly known as H2GO, who have opposing views on whether to build a reverse osmosis plant. Feel free to send your questions now for Rodney McCoy and Brayton Willis to coastline@whqr.org. But we begin today with the race for a seat on the Wrightsville Beach Board of Aldermen. This is a race that has five candidates vying for two open seats. Only one of the incumbents with an expiring term is running for re-election. We will hear from the other candidates for the board in Wrightsville Beach later this election season. Wrightsville Beach is a town in New Hanover County with a population of slightly more than 2,500 people. About 98% of the population is white, with a median household income, according to the 2010 census, of $64,000. Pat Prince has a degree in recreation administration from the University of North Carolina. She's also served as clerk for the North Carolina House of Representatives, and she served on the UNCW Board of Visitors, its Executive Board of Visitors, and the Wrightsville Beach Flotilla Committee. She is currently vice president of the Wrightsville Beach Foundation, and she is now seeking a seat on the Beach Town's board. Pat Prince, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you so much for having me, and I would like to start by congratulating you on the New Hanover County Commissioners proclaiming September 13th, WHQR Day.
Well, thank you very much for that, and
You're
we are
welcome.
Having a big celebration on that day
you
at Waterline
welcome.
Brewing.
You're very welcome.
We are taking your questions now for Pat Prince in this first segment only on this live Thursday show. You can call us at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. Pat Prince, first tell us why you decided to run for this board.
You know, it's there's a couple of reasons. I've always told my girls, there comes a time in your life when you need to show up or shut up. And I felt like it's time for me to show up. I think our board is doing a wonderful job. I want to go in with the attitude of I can work well with this board. I would just like to maybe bring some fresh new ideas. I've had a lot of people say this to me, too. Why are you running? You may as well just beat your head on that wall over there, Pat. So maybe that's the reason I'm running, too.
Welcome to politics.
Yeah, I want everybody to feel like they've got a voice, feel like they're a part of the town, take some new and innovative ideas. And I think we've really got to look forward now. We've got a couple of things happening that we've got to look to the future before we let them happen.
So often when people decide to run for office, it's because there's one issue that sort of galvanized their interest and caused them to say, okay, I'm the person to do something about this. What's that one issue for you?
Well, actually, Rachel, there's more than one issue. I've got about three. I can address them individually or however you'd like me
to
prioritize
them. What's the one thing that sort of pushed you over the edge and made you say, you know, I can really help with this?
I think right now we've got to look at, there's two issues that have not been addressed in well over 7 and 8 years. And if I had to pick the top one, I guess it would be the classification and compensation study for town employees.
How does that come across the radar of a Wrightsville Beach resident?
A few years ago, we lost about 10 police officers. And I have sat down with the police chief, the fire chief, and the town manager. And my question to them was, what's important to you as far as getting your job done, as far as the town? And they all seem to have an interest in this. And I can read you consulting study reasons why it needs to be done, but the bottom line is that you're going to get a better quality of candidates for your jobs, and you're going to get competitive salaries, which is what you've got to have for retention of employees. So I think we need to think about that because we are a growing area. And
so the police department is one of those concerns for you. Has there been high turnover in other parts of the Wrightsville Beach administration?
I don't think as much as it showed up in that area. But I do think, like I say, we need to make sure these guys have a cost of living that they can use, you know, and they need to see that there's a step up, that there's a reason to stay in police, fire, in every level. And this is just something that has not been done I know it hasn't been done in 7 years for sure.
A couple of years ago, there was very little competition for seats on the board of Wrightsville Beach. Now there are five people seeking two open seats. Why do you think the competition has increased so much in this race this year?
I guess I would like to think that people are genuinely interested, whether that be the case or not. But that certainly is my reason for entering. I know another thing. I think we're growing so much. I think there's issues we've got to look at, and hopefully that's a part of the reason that people are running.
Traffic during the summer season, and even beyond the summer season at this point, is a big concern for folks in and around Wrightsville Beach. There was talk of a land swap between the city of Wilmington and the town of Wrightsville Beach, which would move an ABC store closer to the town. And people are raising concerns about just the impact of traffic in that one area on Wrightsville Avenue. How would you, as a Wrightsville Beach board member, help to manage the traffic situation?
I'm so glad you asked me that because that's my other big area of concern. We are facing two large developments that are off the island that are going to have a huge impact on our access on and off the island. Now, I went to the DOT meeting on the two proposals for the Eastwood overpass. I personally feel the single point urban interchange is the best choice for the present and the future. And the two reasons for that is it allows a left and right access to existing businesses. The other plan does not. And it keeps the flow of the traffic to the beach better in and out because it's kind of a one-way thing, in and out. You're in this one line if you go to the beach. The other thing on the Wrightsville Avenue side, all right, there's no room for error on this. We have, you know, you can't make a mistake here and come back corrected. There's not enough land. We have got to really stay on the developer, and we've got to stay on DOT. My husband's a commercial realtor. He's dealt with these things his whole life. And the developer usually bears a huge brunt of the responsibility of the road development. And so this is something we as a community have to stay on and make sure we don't bear it as taxpayers. So that's a big issue to me, both of those things.
The Wrightsville Beach Board of Aldermen have in place some pretty specific and restrictive ordinances when it comes to developers. The Greater Wilmington Business Journal published a piece last September about the challenges developers face in beach towns. Mm-hmm. And in Wrightsville Beach, for example, the height limit is 40 feet. Mm-hmm. And at one time, a property owner had wanted to build a 50-foot mixed-use structure mm-hmm. at the base of Johnny Mercer's Pier, mm-hmm. but town officials rejected proposals that would have allowed higher mm-hmm. buildings. Mm-hmm. Where do you stand on that issue?
Well, I think the height limit is fine. And as you know, Cammon's going through a lot of changes right now. And depending on where you are at sea level, depends on how high you can build, how high you have to be off. The maps are being redrawn. So I just think each individual case has to be assessed. It's not a blanket decision.
So there are cases where you would consider then?
Yes, I think everything has to be looked at. If it's aesthetically and architecturally enhancing, I think you could look at it, yes. And I think we've got to protect those commercial sites that are left on our beach. I think we need to talk to the residents. I think there need to be services on that island so that we don't have to cross the bridge every time we need something. And that's where we need input from people as what you would support What will you support that's going to make it here on this island?
What kind of services do you think are missing at Wrightsville Beach?
That's what I want to hear from people. It's not necessarily my place to make that decision. I have ideas, but it's not my place to make that decision.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Today we're meeting one of the five candidates for the Wrightsville Beach Board of Aldermen. Pat Prince is here today. She's taking your questions during this live Thursday show at 910-343-1138. You can also send us an email at coastline@whqr.org. You, Pat Prince, have also said that providing more dog-friendly spaces is important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
We're a dog town. I mean, if you live at the beach, I couldn't tell you how many people have dogs, the percentage, but it's ridiculous. And if you don't have a boat, you can't take your dog to Masonboro. I mean, we just need a leash space for people to enjoy. I don't think we probably don't have the room for a dog park, but maybe hours, say after 6 o'clock, say 6 to 8, let your dog be leashed somewhere. Just make it a little more dog friendly.
So at this point,
but owners have to be responsible too. Now owners have to be responsible too, and our visitors have to be made aware of that.
Is there an area on the island that you're eyeballing for this right now?
Not necessarily any particular location. And not necessarily.
Do you agree with the current policy on dogs on the beach, at Wrightsville Beach?
I think it kind of has to be what it is.
And tell us what that is.
The no dogs until October, you know, and they have to be leashed. And, I mean, it's just general same rules we've had for years.
Beach nourishment is always a major concern for stakeholders at the beach. The funding for shoreline stabilization is a changing game all the time, challenging at best. Where do you think the lion's share of the funding needs to come from? And if you were elected to the Board of Aldermen, how would you help to facilitate that?
Well, right now, it's coming mostly from the room occupancy tax, and hopefully that's going to continue. 60% of the first 3% goes to renourishment at the town that needs it. We do have an issue of some VRBOs that are not paying, and that's going to have to be addressed. Wrightsville Beach has done an excellent job of putting money in reserve. They have close to probably $1 million in reserve in case we get to a point where we're not getting the funding we need. But there's also been a couple of proposals thrown out should this happen. One was let the room occupancy tax pay for one project per town. The other one, which I find very interesting, is 17.5% of the local costs be split between the county and the beach town receiving it. And what that would mean, like our last project was $8 million. So that would mean that the cost to the town and the county would only be $700,000. So I think looking at ways in the future, should this happen, but I think we need to continue with our room occupancy tax as the major funder of this.
And how do you crack down on those folks who aren't paying it? How do you track it?
Well, I think realtors who handle it are very good. I think they're good about it. I think right now, from what I've been reading, it's citizen input is how this is being caught most of the time. Citizens say, hey, these people are doing this, and word of mouth, this just seems to be the best way right now.
We have a question. Jared from Wrightsville Beach called in and said, Pat Prince, do you plan to lower the speed limit? What do you plan to do about bikers riding in the road as this is unlawful?
There actually, and you can go online and find this, Jared, there's a bike proposal that I came across that was approved in 2009. And I would like to see that revisited. There hasn't been a lot done with that, just a couple of things. Now, some of the things that were approved on that are really not cost-effective, like piers over Salisbury Street Bridge and things. But I do think we need to look at that. I would like to see bikers have to walk their bikes across the drawbridge. I find that extremely dangerous. I would also like them to see them, when they come off the bridge, have to go through the boat ramp and under the bridge. It's very dangerous. I live in Lee's Cut. They come off that bridge and zoom in front of us all the time. So as far as the speed limit, I don't think lowering it's going to do any good. I think we're going to have to concentrate on enforcement.
Enforcement of the existing speed limit. Just a few seconds left. Briefly, Pat Prince, why? Go ahead.
I have one issue that I do want to mention real quickly that's very important to me. Our parking at the beach, here's another issue that has not been dealt with in over 7 years. We have a contract with Lanier, and this is, I'm not saying Lanier is not doing a wonderful job, but it makes good business sense to me that every 4 to 5 years, this should be bid out to make sure we're getting the best price and make sure we're getting the kind of services that we need. And Lanier comes in with the best price, great, we stay. If not, we need to find out. I know Carolina Beach does this. I've talked to their town manager. So we need to see if we're saving money and getting the best bang for our dollar.
Every few years, just staying on top of that. You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Pat Prince, thank you so much
thank
for joining
so
us
much,
today.
Thank you so much, Rich. I appreciate you so much. Thank you. And people vote, please.
And when we come back from this break, we're going to switch gears to meet two of the six candidates for H2GO's Board of Commissioners. Brayton Willis is next. You can ask your own question during this live Thursday show by calling us at 910-343-1138 or emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.